This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
How about you? How long have you been gone that you forget to turn your mics on?
I thought your job was to remind me to hit the microphone.
My job? Oh, it's going to be like that today. All right. This is
okay.
How we do.
Okay. We are here with Grant Woods, former Attorney General of the state of Arizona, and somebody who, in my assessment, were it not for the peculiarities of our electoral system, which is to say that we don't do straight Democratic votes, we have primaries, I think probably would have been governor of Arizona a long time ago. It's also my assessment that, and I'd interested in if you disagree with me, probably in the current Republican Party couldn't get nominated for dog catcher.
Wow. You're going to start like that?
And that's,
wow, welcome.
That's a statement about the system.
Okay.
Not the person.
All right. Okay.
That's a statement, and in fact, it's my lead into my kind of opening question, which is the current state of the Republican Party, both in Arizona, and then we can go nationally. Two observations. One is I ran across a straw poll vote of the Executive Committee, Maricopa County Republican Party, for choices for governor.
Right.
Number one candidate.
Yeah.
Mr. Thomas. 16
really?
Votes.
Wow.
Twice as many as anybody else.
Interesting.
This is also the group that censured John McCain. And they're the Maricopa County Party Executive Committee. So what is going on with the Republican Party in the county and in the state? And then we can go national later. But
sure. As to your first statement, two things as far as me personally. One is, I don't know whether I could have been governor or not, but I never ran. So that's why we don't know. I think I probably would have had a pretty good shot a few times there, but I didn't really want to be governor was the reason. When I ran for attorney general, I ran for what turns out to be a crazy reason. And that is, I wanted to be attorney general. And that okay. seems to be rare for people running for office these days.
It's probably even rarer for secretary of state or state treasurer.
Treasurer, yeah. Yes. Look at these guys. They sit there and do nothing for 4 years with the hopes that they would run for governor. But, I wanted to be AG. And then as far as the second point, as far as the it would be difficult to win a Republican primary today for a variety of reasons. One, I am incapable of basically telling people what they want to hear in order to try to get their vote. I never have done that. I don't like that. I think Arizona, at least as I grew up here, we had a tradition of people telling it as they saw it. And those are the people I respected, Mo Udall, Barry Goldwater, people like that growing up, John Rhodes. So, but I will point this out to you. When I ran for AG, I had never been in office before. I was 35 years old. I was running. I announced against a guy who'd been in there 12 years. I was pro-choice. I was against English only. I was pro-Martin Luther King holiday. I'd never prosecuted. I'd only been a public defender. And I won. So you never know what's going to happen.
You
did. That's all I can tell you.
That's lightning striking three times in the same spot.
That was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, some issues are easier today than they were then. For example, the choice issue, I think is probably somewhat easier today than it was in 1990. That was a dead bang loser in a Republican primary. I will tell you, I had so many. Literally, I'm telling you, I'm going to say in the thousands, because I worked on this for 15 months running, thousands of people who told me to my face, I could never vote for you because you're pro-choice. And at which point, I usually took my brochure back from them because I thought, well, okay, fine.
You don't want to waste that.
Those cost money. And, but then, interestingly, they would want me to keep talking to them about why they should vote for me. I said, well, no, you shouldn't vote for me because if that's the only issue you care about, then I'm not your guy. I think the Republican Party, to your point, has gotten Well, yeah, clearly it's much more extreme today. I don't have any doubt about that. I think the country is much more polarized. The country thinks less. Less people are engaged in politics than I think they ever have been in, probably in our nation's history. The people who are involved, the conservatives seem to get all their news from Fox, and the people who are very liberal seem to get all their news from MSNBC. And I would say those are two sources that ought to be considered but not relied upon. And that makes it very difficult. So in my own opinion, I haven't changed. I think the Republican Party's changed. My views are actually very similar to Barry Goldwater's. At least as I knew Barry while I was AG in the 90s, I was lucky enough to be able to spend quite a bit of time with him while I was AG. And what he believed then and what I believe is that government has a role and an important role in our lives, but it's a very limited role. And it should get out of most things and not be involved in most things. But the things that it should be involved in, public education, transportation, electricity, infrastructure, national defense, things like that, it should do well. This crew that runs the Republican Party today pretty much believes the opposite. They say they're for limited government, but they're for a lot of government. They want the government to be involved in the most intimate personal things in your life. I think that's antithetical to where to being a true conservative. And then the things that the government should do, they want to starve the government so much that the government can't even do that. And they've done a pretty darn good job of that in Arizona, unfortunately. So I think the Republican Party is going to wither on the vine if it doesn't wake up. And then there's one other big issue that I'll mention, and that is civil rights issue. One of the things I ran on, by the way, I didn't mention that. One of my main things that I ran on was civil rights. That was an interesting thing in a Republican primary as well.
You were taking a lot of pamphlets back at that point, weren't you?
Yeah.
John Lewis said the other day he didn't think the Civil Rights Act could pass in the current Congress.
Well, I don't think it could either, because they can't don't seem to be able to pass anything in the House these days. But I think on the issue of gay rights, the Republican Party, it's only a matter of time before they wither on the vine here if they don't wake up in that area. And they ought to wake up, because true conservatives should say the government has no business being involved in that.
And more with former attorney Grant Woods when we come back right here in the Think Tank on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We are back with Grant Woods, former Attorney General, State of Arizona. And you, in the last segment, you used an interesting phrase about, well, you know, to get elected, you got to tell people what they want to hear. In the current Republican primary constituency, and I think you might agree that you might make a distinction between Republican voters in general and primary voters.
Definitely.
You're running in the Republican primary. Be completely crass about it, if you would. Tell me what the most electable platform is on the most – what are the hot button issues? What are you going to say if you have no personal sort of core and you want to say the things that people want to hear? What are those things?
I think in this climate in Arizona, there'd be two things. One, you should demean the president as much as you can, and everything should be Obama's fault, and that you're going to fight Obama on everything, even
things that aren't state issues.
Primarily things that aren't state issues, and even though he won't care, you would do that. So, and then number two is immigration. As nutty and as extreme as you can be on immigration, there's probably no real downside on that, and I think you see that. That makes it very difficult out there. I think it's heightened. That extreme view is heightened again today, as it was about 4 years ago, I did go around with Senator McCain in his race, and we did a lot of town halls. He did the town halls. I was supposed to just be there as his, you know, buddy. And the funny part there was, I'll just tell you this, and this happened many, many times because this just shows you his sense of humor. Big crowds, like 400, 500, 600 people. And they were red hot on this issue. They were going crazy. Like, they would chastise Senator McCain if he would use the word undocumented. They go nuts on that. Why don't you say illegal? You know, stuff like that. This is the mentality we're dealing with. And
this was in the last election.
Four years ago. And it was right after the feds had sued Arizona over 1070. And so that was red hot. And inevitably someone, I remember the first time I was out in Sun City, someone raised their hand. Again, like out there, there was at least 600 people there, maybe more. And they said, can you believe the federal government suing our state? Our government is suing our state. Isn't that terrible? And Senator McCain said, well, you know, we happen to have our former attorney general here, Grant Woods. Let's get his view on that. And here he is, Grant Woods. And they all clapped, yay, yay, yay. And I said, oh, thank you. Actually, I think that was a very good lawsuit. I support the lawsuit. I think they're going to win. I think it is unconstitutional. And they were like, yeah, what? Hey, huh? Turn that miracle ear up. He didn't say that. And Senator McCain then called on me several times for that same bit, knowing that that I would be booed out of there.
You make him look very conservative, right?
But a nice deflection.
Oh no, he mainly did it just because he liked to see me squirm. But sure. Fortunately, I didn't care. I don't think you can. Yeah, this is the way it is. Arpaio proves it. I think the continued, obviously greatly diminished, but the continued somewhat popularity of the sheriff, even though he has been found by a conservative Republican judge to have systematically used the power of government in the biggest way, which is to take away someone's freedom, to incarcerate them based solely upon the color of their skin, he's still popular. Now, that shows you how bad it is around here, as far as I'm concerned. He should be run out of town after a finding like that, not from some liberal Obama appointee, but from a conservative East Valley Republican Bush appointee.
But you neglect that plaque and you attack it while the liberals are after me.
That's what he does, and that's what they all do. And not only that, but it works. And you see a lot of these candidates, Christine Jones in particular, couldn't be sucking up to him more. I mean, it's ridiculous. Obviously, with this narrow group, I've always said, how you started here, if every Republican in the state voted in the primary,
That'd be a different group.
It'd be a different group, and I would do fine there. I think I could win that walking away. But they don't. When you take a very narrow slice, and they're very, for the most part, very conservative, very, very conservative, it's hard to win with that crowd. And so, you know, I would find myself in Kingman talking to the McVeigh family about how I'm their guy, and I don't really need that.
Wow.
Yeah. Life's too short for that.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
So, someone else can go do that. I'm not doing that.
Okay. Republican Party seems to be bent on self-destruction. Mm-hmm. Tom Horn, Education Secretary Huppenthal. Of the two, who do you think is deader?
Who is deader? Wow, that's a tough one. I don't. The problem that that Tom Horn has is that he's got a strong, well-qualified challenge in the primary, and then he's got a, if he survives that, he has a tremendous candidate in Felicia Rodellini in the general. So I think he's got the tougher situation because he's got two races here. Huppenthal's situation is, I can't even hardly, is it Garcia or somebody?
David Garcia. I think he's a pretty credible guy.
Yeah, that's what I hear, but no one knows who's running against Huppenthal. They just know I'm not voting for Huppenthal, with any sense.
He's got a primary opponent who has said that she is against the Common Core.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, I'm going to vote in the Republican primary, and I will vote for her, whoever she is. I couldn't even tell you her name, and I'm not against the Common Core, but he should be out of office. It's disqualifying what he did. The thing about Tom Horn that I would still say is, and he's done a lot of really good things in office, he has, but as far as all these allegations against him, I get it. They couldn't be more troubling. They are extensive. However, he has the right to due process as well, and they haven't all been proven. And when they are, then that would be disqualifying. Hoopenthal has admitted to what he did, and that's disqualifying.
Right. I go back to Horn here. I think Horn. I don't think Horn is out of the game.
No, I don't
by
either.
By any stretch of the imagination.
No, I don't either.
He's
he could
incumbent.
Win the primary.
He has done good things. He can
sure.
run on his record.
Yep.
There are bruises, and they're big bruises. That's for sure. But he has the pulpit now. He runs PSAs now. There's a lot of Tom Horn's name getting thrown around. And once again, when people go to the polls, they look and they see, oh, that's the name I know. I know Tom
yeah,
Horn.
Right.
I know Tom Horn.
I think he could. I think, again, his problem is Mark Brnovich is a very, very qualified candidate. But Horn could win the primary for sure. If he wins the primary, I think he's going to have a real uphill battle in that general. He barely won last time without all these problems.
And you have to say, if you're handicapping that Felicia Rodellini looks certainly stronger this time than last.
Definitely.
And she almost won
last time. And I also think a lot of the Brnovich voters would not vote for Horn. They would either not vote... or they would vote for Rodellini. They're pretty passionate in there. So I think he's got an uphill battle. But again, he has done a number of good things in office. And the thing about Tom Horn, if you look at his career, he's a scrapper, man. It's tough to count him out. He's won a lot of races that people thought he would not win.
All right, let's dive into some immigration when we get back. Let's talk driver's license more with former Attorney General Tom Horn right here in the think tank. On
now,
News
what
Talk,
was that?
92.3.
What was that? Former Attorney General who?
I said, I was looking at Tom Horn. I already voted him out of office. Holy cow, look at that.
There's a little Freudian thing there. He's not former yet. Come on.
Grant Woods, next on The Think Tank.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We're back. It happened again. And you made fun of me for messing up Grant Woods' name. Tell you what.
All right, we're back. Grant Woods, Mike O'Neill, Mike Russell. I got a heart-rending email yesterday from Doug Ducey. Oh. And it said, this is horrible. Somebody's using dark money to smear me.
No,
dark money.
That's said, terrible.
Dun, dun, dun.
I can't believe it.
If we have a think tank hypocrisy meter, this book broke the bank. Because Doug Ducey has had... a whole lot of dark money, and he's used it to attack Christine Jones. She is now return fire. I think this could be nuclear. They both got big money, and they both decided that the other one is their logical opposition. I look at that and say it could be good for Steve Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it could be good for I don't know how Scott Smith falls in this thing. He's been an excellent mayor in Mesa. Mm-hmm. I've known him my whole life. I think we were in high school at the same time. Great family, good guy. He was a great mayor. Is he only in Arizona? Could he be too moderate? but maybe he is. I don't know. We'll see. But I think he's a great candidate. Full disclosure, I'm supporting Fred DeVal, who is the Democrat. And I've known Fred my whole life as well. I think he's fantastic. I think he could be one of the great governors of our life. And I'm confident of that. Again, a very moderate guy and just what the state needs right now, I think. Probably the best shot for Fred is if the Republicans do have this circular firing squad, which they're famous for.
And seems to be beginning.
Seems to be shaping up that way.
I mean, at least between two candidates who are the most well-funded.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think they should keep at it. Definitely, you know.
Put on your analyst hat. Mm-hmm. Is that what you think happens?
I think we see a knockdown, drag out, money's no object. Among some of these candidates.
And so, but those, so far it's pretty much been Ducey and Jones.
Yeah, and I think that's because of resources.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money Smith has. And Smith needs to get his own name ID up. I mean, my understanding is that outside of Maricopa County, his name ID is
he raised, in his expenditure reports, he raised $1 million, which contrasted with two for Jones and Ducey. And Jones and Ducey both have more resources and independent expenditure stuff behind. So
that's going to be a problem.
It's probably a bigger difference than that. On the other hand, they're using that money to attack one another.
Right. Yeah. And that's where I think, going back to Duvall's sitting watching them destroy each other. I think Scott Smith benefits here as well, because he gets to watch those two absolutely destroy each other and then pop up when it's all said and done.
I think another thing, Governor Brewer is very popular among Republican primary voters. Her weighing in the AG's race.
Now, on behalf of, in case you didn't catch that, on behalf of Scott Smith.
No, on behalf of Brnovich in the AG's race.
No, but I think, didn't she endorse Scott Smith?
I haven't seen that.
I didn't see that.
I don't think she's done that yet, although she's getting a lot of pressure to do that.
Yep.
I personally think if she'll either endorse Smith or she will stay out of it.
And I think endorsements are sometimes overrated.
They
in two-person races,
right,
where they're both well known, but when you've got five or six candidates, endorsement I think means a lot.
I think that could be a big boost. I don't know whether she'll do it or not. I think she probably would like to do it, but doesn't want to back someone if she doesn't think they're going to win. So that's an interesting thing to watch. I don't know. I think Ducey's he's well financed and well organized, and so he's got a shot at it. But yeah, to your point, Mike, I think Fred Duvall is, I think things have gone very, very well for him. And he'll be ready. And we've seen this before with Democrats being elected in the state. Back when I left office, there was a big battle in the Republican primary on the AG side, and Janet Napolitano was unopposed on the Democratic side, and she just sat and waited until the smoke cleared, and then there she was. Now, she barely won, but she won.
But as a Democrat, she starts out with a handicap.
She starts out with a handicap,
six, eight points.
And she was ready to jump right in there. So I think Fred is in the same position. Now, there's also a chance that you could have a surprise in the Republican primary. Given the dynamics of the issues, who knows? Who's to say we're not going to get surprised in this? And maybe a Christine Jones does win. I think Duvall beats Christine Jones.
But Scott Smith is probably Fred's worst nightmare, you think?
You know what's interesting about Fred is... I don't want to speak for him, but I know him as well as anybody. I will tell you, he's such a good guy. I bet he's rooting for Scott Smith, even though I think he would be the most difficult guy to beat.
Even though that's an interesting. I meant that not in terms of his preference, but in terms of beatability.
Oh,
Scott Smith,
I think so.
Is the most formidable candidate
in a general. Yes.
Because he picks up all the Republican vote. And
doesn't offend the Democrats,
mm-hmm. and he makes a reasonable play for the center.
I agree with
and
that.
The center
I think
right.
that's the case. But the reason, so why would Fred not want Andrew Thomas or one of these other jokers?
Because they might win.
Yes, because he's a patriot. He really is. That's just how he is. Now that's the difference between him and me. Trust me, I would be rooting hard for one of these goofs to win.
Yeah.
Let me move off of that and ask
Makes
you
sense.
This
that's
as,
what I would
as
do.
Attorney General. Mm-hmm. Now we had some Arizona legislation shot down again. Let me pose. This is about driver's licenses, and you can respond to that and specifically. But as a non-lawyer, I look at the court decision and say, Arizona has got to be like number one in the country for having legislation shot down in the courts.
Yep.
Why is that?
Well, because they're not serious, in my view. It is actually very analogous to the House of Representatives in Washington right now. I don't think they're necessarily serious about governing. They're very serious about politics. And so this is all very good politics. But if you really think that maybe the government has a role to play and that you ought to focus on that limited role and actually govern and do some things that could help people, you would not get involved in these ridiculous losing battles. And this is an area where my counsel to I'm still close to the most all the AGs around the country. And this is a hot topic. When do you get involved? When do you step aside and not defend something? And
you do have that option as Attorney General.
Yes, you do. And in my view, I think you should step aside and not defend something you believe is unconstitutional. If there is an argument that can be made for it, then what I always did, here's how I handled it. I let the governor, Symington, for most of my time, Jane Hull and I really never had disagreements, but I had plenty with Symington. I would let him or someone from the legislature hire a lawyer to defend that position. But I would come in on behalf of the state of Arizona as Attorney General, on behalf of the folks who were saying that it was unconstitutional.
So you would not necessarily defend the state. You would defend what you thought was the most defensible legal position.
I would. I would come in the other way. I did it many times, primarily on Native American issues. I almost always sided with the Native Americans, and we almost always won. But there were other school funding issues where I was against the state several times. And today's, on most all of these immigration issues, if I was Attorney General, I would come in on the other side. I wouldn't allow the state to be undefended. I don't believe in that. It's tempting, but I think that's not right. But I would go argue the other way. And the driver's license thing was a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned legally.
Explain quickly what that was.
Actually we're going to have to break, but we'll come back. I want to get your thoughts on that. I also want to go back a little bit if I could, and I want to dip into the federal lawsuits in your stance and in what you experienced as our Attorney General Moore with former Attorney General Grant Woods. Thank you very much. Right here on The Think Tank on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
All right, before we left you, Grant Woods was former Attorney General Grant Woods was talking about a driver's license. I forget the fun word that you used about the driver's license. I'm going to put in shenanigans, but if you could help me out with it, dive a little deeper into this driver's license
just
issue
in general,
when it comes to illegal immigrants.
Well, first is a policy decision that needed to be made by the state, and I get that, and reasonable minds can differ on whether someone who is here illegally should get a driver's license. I don't even. Yeah, I understand totally the position that they should not. However, you started having different groups of people where, according to federal law, if the federal government, in this case the Obama administration, made certain designations, then you know it really took it out of the state's hands to discriminate in that way, that you had to treat everybody equally, given what the feds had done.
What they said, just so people understand this, is if you're sort of like you're brought here as a child, you've been here approximately 10 years or something like that, and you're otherwise legal.
Is the Dream Act light?
Right. Yeah, it was basically putting those folks into a legal status on a temporary basis.
So, I think, I, again, as Attorney General, what you need to do is, don't worry about the Republicans or the Democrats, and don't worry about the politics. This is why it's best if you actually want to be Attorney General and not want to be something else.
You're free to follow your conscience.
Do what the law requires. And in this case, it was pretty clear that it was unconstitutional at this point in time. So
because they already had a legal status.
Right. So why are we fighting that fight? And once again, it's part of the hypocrisy of these so-called conservatives that have a big sway in this state, is that they're more than willing to spend taxpayer dollars by the tens of millions on lawyers to fight fights that can't be won.
Well, the place where I thought that, harkened back to an interesting case, we now have kids coming up, not from Mexico, but from further south, and
the law says that if you're not from Mexico, that you go through a legal process. And it seems like these same groups are saying, well, why don't we just instantly deport them? To which there's a response, which is, what part of that would be illegal? Don't you understand?
Well, you know, again, the people are so rabid on this immigration issue on the right. They keep talking about the rule of law. They're for the rule of law.
And the law is very clear. If you're not coming from a contiguous state, you don't get instantly deported. You go through a legal process.
You have a hearing. And so that, to me, again, these situational ethics and situational positions that people take are really distressing. And again, people ought to just, I'm all for the rule of law. That's why I was the attorney general.
But you have to be so consistent.
Be consistent on it. And if you don't like that law, then fine, go change it. I understand changing it. I don't think we can have kids coming here by the tens of thousands. That's not what. That's not our responsibility as a country. But the law is what it is today, and it ought to be enforced. So once again, we shouldn't be running off wasting our money on spurious lawsuits, in my view. Although that seems to be what a lot of people
there seems,
want.
As you point out, no reluctance
there's
to
a
do
market
that,
for that
when somebody wants to achieve a certain outcome.
And correct.
I think there was a lawsuit, I believe it was last week, where there was a sheriff, there was a Maricopa County sheriff that put arrested someone essentially in his own unmarked vehicle. Mm-hmm. And we knew that was going to become a lawsuit. And I thought to myself, well, it seems that with regards to the sheriff's department, that lawsuits are white noise to us now. We just assume there's no outrage, there's no outcry.
No, you're right.
It's just, it's another lawsuit against the sheriff's department, and you know very well, sir, that it costs millions of taxpayer dollars.
Just remember this, when the sheriff's office or any government entity like that is sued, everyone that you see in the courtroom is being paid pretty much by you.
Oh, okay. Both sides.
Both sides are generally getting paid one way or the other. And ultimately, in this case, they're certainly getting paid because if it's some private group, they're getting their attorney's fees eventually anyway. Plus, they're getting tens of millions of dollars in awards for all of this mismanagement and illegal activity by the office.
And there doesn't seem to be a political cost for that.
They're close. I think we're getting closer each time here, you know. And, it's, you know, if it wasn't for the fake candidate, the fake independent who was actually in Arpaio plant last time, then Arpaio would have lost last time, if you just look at the numbers. So, you know, he 83 or something? I don't know how old the guy is. You know, I don't know. You got to give him credit.
Do him in before the voters.
They might. In a perverse sense, you got to give him credit.
Might be the first lifetime appointee as sheriff.
Well, what's funny is when he ran the first time, he ran on the platform that it should be an appointed position. And I agreed with him on that. It should be appointed. By the way, a lot of these state offices right now ought to be appointed.
Well,
the
point I've always made about that is, you know, do we elect the City of Phoenix
Chief of Police
Commissioner?
Yeah,
it's that same job.
Right. And why, by the way, do we need a sheriff? It's 2014. It's not 1814.
Well, let's list. Do we need constables?
No.
How do you feel about justices of the peace who are elected and don't even have to be a lawyer?
Right. And make, like, you know, 70,
well, what about my job?
The purpose of which, of course, is to pump up legislative retirement plans.
Exactly.
Because the legislator makes peanuts for $24,000 a year.
And most of them are conservatives who hate the government.
But 3% retirement a year times your highest 5 years of pay. You serve in the legislature for a while, and then on the back end, you become a justice of the peace at a six-figure salary.
I am distressed that you were telling people that little secret that some of these so-called conservatives count on for their government pension in their later years. They spend their time in government railing against the government, and yet they're the ones who seem to benefit the most from it.
Wait a second, what about my job, state mining inspector? That's what I'm going for.
That should be out.
I just learned about this position.
I had to go around a campaign with the guys running for state mining inspector.
I wanted that
job.
It was
so weird.
Bad news this year. I love that position because to me it has always been the way to calibrate exactly how large the true Republican
I
large. Well, the state mine inspector this year is running
running unopposed, so we don't even lose. We lose
How
that office as a calibration
I can get
mechanism.
In. Let me get in. Let me get into the race. I'll tell you that. But let's go to the federal level. Okay. As the Attorney General, when the federal government sues our state, as that comes across your desk, what does that entail? Because that seems daunting.
Depends on what it is. You can beat them. I mean, the federal government. I mean, one thing, let me tell you a little secret. You know, when I was just a kid growing up, Mesa, I always had this, it was kind of comforting that I thought there was a group of people out there who were running the country who probably knew what they were doing, you know, the president and all the top people. And then as I got involved in government, the light bulb went on and I realized, no one really knows that much about what they're doing. They're mostly guys just like us, and most of them are doing their best, and some of them aren't, and some of them are goofs. I mean, John Rhodes, one of his famous lines that I love, Mr. Rhodes said, you know, he served 30 years in the House. He said, you know, your first 6 months, you walk around wondering how you got there, and the rest of your time, you wonder how everybody else got here. And that's been my government experience. So the fact that the federal government sues Arizona doesn't mean that much to me necessarily. Okay. We can take them on. We can beat them. It's going to be on the strength of our case and of our argument.
And this cuts both ways. We've sued the federal government plenty of times as well.
We do it constantly now, and most of it is complete baloney, in my view.
I want to, on the subject of complete baloney, I want to ask you a specific question and have a reason. What percent, you were attorney general, what percentage of the attorney general's job deals with criminal law?
It depends on the state. You know,
Arizona.
In Arizona, I'm going to say... maybe a quarter.
Because the point I always make about that is the way to get elected to an office like that is to run as the toughest cop in law for a job that, by the reckoning of somebody who's done it, is 75% civil law.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's no doubt. You're supposed to be the top cop. That's what they say. You're not the top cop. I mean, I tried to embrace that as well because it was cool. Then I got this little cherry thing I could stick on top of my car. I had a siren. But you're really not the top cop. I actually used it once.
Did you?
Yeah. And they.
I'd use it daily.
Well, I used it once, and it was kind of a dumb thing because someone blew through a intersection, creamed someone, hurt them, and then kept driving. So I popped it on and chased them, and nobody knew that, by the way, until now. But I did catch them, and then the point was, now what? I mean, I'm a lawyer. Whoops, now what do I do? You know, I get on the CB. Hey, we got a problem.
Hand me your card. You need an attorney,
yeah,
sir.
You need an attorney. You know, they looked up at a billboard and called one of those fools. And some states have no criminal jurisdiction. Some states have complete criminal jurisdiction. They do it all. They supervise the county attorneys and all that. That's not the case here. I think if I had to pick the one area, I would say most important for the average guy from the AG's office, it's consumer protection. It's going out there and fighting the guys who are trying to rip
people
off.
Which is not what gets you elected.
Maybe not, but maybe so.
Yeah. Former Attorney General Grant Woods, thank you so much for being here. Hey, thanks for being with us on the Think Tank on News Talk 92.3 KTAR.